It's going to be good. So get fired up. I like that last song that we were singing in there. I was talking about like awaken, awake my soul, you know. So for us in here, I think that's real relevant. You know, wake up, you know. God, wake my soul up because I'm tired. We had to spring forward. I lost an hour of sleep. So help me, Jesus, to wake up. All right. So if Cam will help me out back there, we'll get going and talking about how we're running things today. So why prayer meetings, like we do this every Sunday, is a move of God in our generation. And I think we're starting to see even a little bit of stuff right now happening here in the factory. So it's really cool. So I'm anxious to see what God is going to do here within us and see that thing spill out into Springfield, Missouri, and beyond. And then secondly, to see the gospel to your friends. Again, I think we're seeing a lot of that already being reaped even now on Wednesday nights and things like that that we've seen previously. A lot of people coming to know the Lord through salvation. So, man, let's keep praying so we can keep seeing the gospel go to our friends. And then we say this right here is that prayer fuels mission and mission fuels prayer. And I think as we've been going through this book, I think you see that played out in the life of this the author of this book that, I mean, every time they're praying, then something happens that fuels them to mission, and then it fuels them to pray more, and then something explodes. And we'll actually be talking about that today, how just them being obedient to one thing explodes into something else, which leads to more prayer. So, again, we're just seeing this walked out again. So the five steps to starting your own prayer meeting goes like this, is to start it. That's the first thing. Own it. Enjoy it. Pray the Bible and bring the worship. Like I always say, I think the hardest thing to do is to start it. Just to do it, I think it's the hardest step. And I think once you do that, it gets easier to own it, and then you enjoy it and pray in the Bible. All those things get easier once you just do it, you know? So let's do it. So let's skip over that next slide because we don't repeat that. So this morning, here's how it's going to go. It's not going to go like that because we have worship already. So what we're going to do today is that after I'm done talking, we're going to have a little bit of worship, and then we're going to go right into adoration from Psalm 119, Heth. We'll get there, and then we'll do a short song, and then we'll do Praying for the Lost, and then another really short song, and then we'll do Red Moon Rising, and that's going to be Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6 today, and then we'll close out all together on that. So that's how we're going to rock today. And this is the format, like always, praying the scriptures. No sermons, no explanations, just grab the mic and rip. Baseball style, we all know it, that we line up, waiting for that mic to get hot so we can get it, and then read the verse, and then rip and agree. And I think what we've been getting a lot better at is agreeing all together. I think that's something that's really important, that we don't just sit back and just listen to the person on the mic, but to agree with them. If they're praying for a lost person, if they're praying for whatever, their campus, whatever, the move of God in this generation, that we're not just back there, but we're just agreeing with them as they're speaking. Like, you know, Justin says, you know, get that, Jesus. You can say whatever you want. You can say, yes, Lord, yes, yes, I agree, whatever you want to say, but agree with that person that's up there. And like I said, we're going to be in adoration, Psalm 119, Heth. Then we're going to go over to praying for the law schools, and it's John 3:16, as always. And then Red Moon Rising is going to be in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6, and we're going to get there. It's going to be good. I love this. We're going to talk about it today at the end. All right, let's go to the next one. Sorry if I'm going fast, trying to get through it. So today, as we're in chapter 7, Red Moon Rising, it's called A Prayer Room Explodes. And it's going to be really cool to see how, like I said, them being obedient to one thing leads to something that's really great. So here's what happens. Pete and everyone in his little crew that he runs with, they start this. They have this annual conference, and they call it the Cultural Shift Conference, and they have it in Southampton, UK, and they hold it in the city's central hall. And then the place where they're holding this at has been a home to a lot of greats, right, like George Jeffries and my man Billy Graham. Everybody knows Billy Graham. So this is something that Billy Graham said on evangelism right here. And it says this: the evangelistic harvest is always urgent. The destiny of men and of the nations is always being decided. Every generation is crucial and every generation is strategic, but we cannot be held responsible for the past generations, and we cannot bear the full responsibility for the next one. However, we do have our generation. God will hold us responsible at the judgment seat of Christ for how well we fulfilled our responsibilities and took advantage of our opportunities, right? Yeah, that looks good. So this is what Culture Shift, they had some opportunities before them, as we're talking about. So this is the opportunities they had back in the day, is that they gathered together to wrestle with these challenges that they were going to face. So a couple of challenges in expressing the church in a new way was the internet. That's crazy, right? That was back in the day. The internet, you know, this postmodern community, things like that. So they had this opportunity, so they came together because they wanted to express, you know, the gospel and everything in a new way and face these challenges. So they all got together for this Culture Shift conference. So that's why they got together. So while they're there, something happens. One of the pastors at one of the churches, his name is Roger Ellis. He's one of the leaders. And he comes up to Pete and he has this idea. He's like, man, we should fill the whole year with nonstop prayer, just 24/7 nonstop for a whole year. And I think the most they had done to this point was just like 3 months. So they were like, man, let's do this for a whole entire year, unbroken. So they called it a dangerous download, because that's quite the task right there. So this is what Pete says in the book. He says, if anyone wants to pray nonstop for a week or more with your friends next year, let me know afterwards. So he's proposing this to everybody at the conference. And he said, maybe we can fill the whole next year with prayer, and we'll try and we'll link up all on the internet. And everyone cheered once again. So this is what happens. So the guy has this dangerous download. He has this dangerous idea of praying the whole entire year. And so Pete, you know, he proposes it to everybody at the conference. And this is what happens. Pete gets this awesome response from everybody there. So there's 23 different locations that respond to him. So 23 different churches respond to Pete. And they're like, man, I want in. I want to pray with you 24/7. I want to commit to a week. I want to commit to a month or whatever it was so we can pray for the whole entire year. And what I love about this is that it was birthed just from that one prayer room, just from Pete being obedient. And that one thing, you know, being obedient, his task from that one thing opens up 1 to 23, which is really awesome, right? So the next day in his office, you know, he's sitting down and everything's starting to sink in. Like, what did I just do? What did I just do? So this is what he says. I groaned remembering my impulsive promise of a website. We didn't even have one for our church at that time. Crazy, right? I didn't even know anyone who would make one for us for free. That was Monday. First thing Tuesday morning, I got an email from a complete stranger named Pete also. It said, I've designed your website for the prayer think. Oh, my bad. Click here to see if you like it. Onto the hyperlink and clicked probably another. So he thought my man was crazy. So he clicks on the site and he realizes that it was designed well, but he said it wasn't hip for his time. He said it was too, like, you know, just Jesus kind of in the flower fields kind of type feel. So he was like, this is not hip enough. So I'm going to go meet this guy. His name was Pete Worthington, and this is what happens. He says Pete was a clever, kind gentleman, quick to laugh, and had an absolute passion to serve God. And what's cool is because the timing of him meeting Pete is really cool, because God had been preparing this guy who, you know, gave him the website. He had been preparing him just right along with the author. So it was really cool to see what God was going to do, because 2 months earlier, this guy, Pete Worthington, had left his job at the British Aerospace, and, you know, just from being urged by this inner voice to say, hey, prepare for something else, get ready for something new. So he drops his job at the aerospace, and he moves on. And what happens is he has this great vision, and I want to read it to you guys real fast out of the book. It was a little too long to throw up on the screen, so listen to my voice. Okay, so this is what it says. I was sitting in a plane flying over Europe on the way back from a business trip, Pete explained. It was early evening and dark outside. I was thinking of nothing in particular when suddenly had what I could only describe as a vision, which looked so real. From my window, I could see a matrix, a web of lights, randomly crisscrossing the earth, going in all directions as far as I could see. There were hubs of concentrated light, almost like powerhouses, which were sending out pulses of light across the matrix. I didn't understand what it all meant, but the whole thing was accompanied by an intense excitement, and I knew that I had just seen something significant. It was just after this that I felt the urge to spend some time seeking God as to what it all meant, and somehow this experience changed my life forever. It was only in the weeks and months that followed I began to understand what it meant. I felt it had something to do with the internet in some way, but I didn't know to what extent. It is now clear that this was a prophetic vision of the network of prayer rooms which we were going to cover the earth, connected by the web. So he has this dude, like I said, he was working at the British Aerospace, and he's just flying one day, and he has this vision of this matrix, this crazy thing, and all these webs reaching all over the world, and he realizes is that this internet thing that he's going to do, that God's calling him to, is going to touch the entire globe, right? Crazy, right? Just having a vision like that. So this is what happens. So stirred up by this vision, Pete, he quits his job, knowing that the internet thing was going to be his platform for his ministry that God was assigning him to. So he prayed, and God led him to this place that he had never heard before. It was called Chichester. So here's what happened. So he's driving somewhere, talking with God, and the internet thing, I've got some great ideas. The Chichester thing, that was just my imagination, right? And he felt God say, Pete, look in front of you. And this is always a good advice when driving, but to Pete's amazement, he now saw that the truck in front of him was from Chichester. So again, God is driving him to this place. And so what Pete does, he arranges to meet his brother-in-law at the Cultural Shift Conference, right? Like we talked about at the beginning. So he goes there, and he's going to meet his brother-in-law at this cultural shift conference. And at the conference, he hears the author, Pete, you know, talk about, hey, we need a, you know, an internet site and all those different things. So he realizes what, you know, Pete was, you know, asking for is what his vision was. So he leaves and goes and works on his website for 48 hours straight, designing this website. Crazy, right? So God just prepared him, and all that stuff all came together at this cultural conference. And so this is what happened. So looking back, so this is what it says. The website that Pete and I designed on scraps of paper at my kitchen table was to become a key tool for telling stories and connecting people together around the world. On the site, we seek to link up all the prayer rooms that are to go at any given moment, sharing answers to prayer as well as heartfelt prayer requests. So this thing that he designed, this website, becomes this huge thing, man, that is very powerful. So the website enabled them to focus on people's prayers, like in a broad sense, like a social current affairs and issues of justice, things like that. Then it had a nonstop community. So it said they had like 2 million hits a month on this website. And this was all, you know, pertaining to prayer. Then it had people become Christians. People were discipled through this website. And that people were literally, like, their lives were literally saved from this website. People who were, like, suicidal found help through this website and were saved. So, I mean, this website was a powerful tool, like he said, in that vision that he had that, you know, connected everybody across the globe and touched it everywhere across the globe. So this is what Pete says. He said, the God who hired Pete Worthington, and behind my back, the God who had predicted our prayer room before I had ever thought of it, this God was moving in mysterious and extraordinary ways, even in the details of all that was being born. So again, I mean, just God just doing great things, you know, even when the author didn't see it, you know, everything just lining up behind the scenes perfectly, you know, all by the will of God. So this is what I say for us, you know, that we can get from this. And the first thing I say is this, that God wants us to do a work through us, not just in our city, but also in the world. So this is what Isaiah 49:6 says. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So God's saying, man, it's too simple just to save your city. It's too simple just for your people. But, you know, I'm going to send you out and you're going to be a light until the ends of the world. So I think that for us here, that, I mean, yeah, God does want to move here in Springfield, but I think that he also wants to move beyond that into the world, you know, through us, through our prayers. And I'm not saying that each one of us is going to be sent into the world, but through our prayers and through our ministry here, through our obedience here in the prayer room, that God is going to affect the world. That's his desire. And that secondly, as we are persistent in prayer, we find it is God who is moving us and not the other way around. So when we're in prayer, when we're obedient in prayer, we find that God is the one that's doing everything, right? He's the one that's pulling everything together. He's the God in the details and making everything come about. And it's not us trying to make something happen. So when we're praying, God is doing everything. He's moving everything forward for us, and we're not trying to force anything to happen, but it's him moving us. And then thirdly, we have to be a people prepared by God in prayer. I mean, that's so good right there. That we have to be a people prepared by God in prayer. That, I mean, if we're not in prayer, then, I mean, what can we say? We need to be in communication with God, and that's the place that we need to be prepared from. And that fourth, as we pray, we must be open to what God is instructing and being obedient to that very thing. So, I mean, it's one thing to hear from God, but it's another thing to be obedient to him. All right, so we want to hear from him, his instructions, and we want to be obedient. And then the last thing, that we want to be good stewards and obedient over small things that lead to greater opportunities. Because they were obedient over that one thing, over that one little prayer room, and it led to this explosion of 23 places, I mean, and them praying for a whole entire year. So we want to be good stewards over little things, over our prayer meeting that we have now, be good stewards over that, and allow God to expand us in opportunities. So he works out every detail, moving in mysterious and extraordinary ways. So that's what we're going to do right now, that we're going to allow God to move us as we work through prayer. So what we're going to do right now, I think Caleb's going to come up, and he's going to sing a little bit, and then we're going to get to our prayers for the day, our adoration, praying for the lost before our campuses, and then our Red Moon Rising prayer. So if we all stand together real fast, that I'll pray, and then we'll get into it, man.
Hey,
let's all wake up, man, like that song says, right? Let's all awake and arise. I know it's early. And we had to spring forward. Some people fall asleep, man. Oh, about to fall out the chairs. It's all good, you know. But hey, let's awake and rise this morning, all right? Let's get after it.